This morning, we are going to be giving a brief overview of the book of Deuteronomy, mainly hitting the main themes that we've hit all summer, and also to recognize the monumental life that Moses was to the people of Israel. The end of Deuteronomy 34 says, "Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do." He was in many, many ways the father to the nation of Israel. If you would say that there is a human that was that, and in the Gospel of Matthew, points very clearly that Jesus is the new Moses, to say, yes, Moses was great and Moses brought the people of Israel and showed them the law of God. And now Jesus comes and shows us the kingdom of God in all of its fullness. And so even in our having the Messiah revealed to us, we still have a lot of context that comes to us from Moses. So to give him his due, I think is a good way to say it, we're going to read together Deuteronomy 34 as our scripture passage this morning. It's on page 329 in your pew Bible. Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34, page 329 in the pew Bible. "Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the whole region of the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, 'This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it.' And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord God, may your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and the glory of Christ our single concern. As I continue on this journey of parenting, I'm coming to find out that repetition is very, very important. With my boys right now, it's very, very important that I continue to repeat to them the important instructions that will guide them through life. For Bennett right now, because he's 2.5, almost 3, it's stop hitting. Bennett, we don't hit. Bennett, we don't hit. For Dean, being 5, almost 6, it's close the door to the bathroom when you have to go. Pull the door shut. Don't pull your pants down till you shut the door. Important instructions to guide you through life. Sure, none of you struggled with that when you were small children. And as I've told you before, and I will definitely tell you again, when I was a child, when I was in high school, every day before my little sister and I would leave for school, my dad would say, "Jake, do good, be good. Julie, do good, be good. Have a good day." And every day, those were the important instructions that he gave us as we walked out the door. And as you can tell now, they have made an impression in me. And one thing about repetition is that you cannot ignore it. When someone repeats something over and over and over again, you cannot ignore it. You can choose not to follow those instructions. You can choose to disobey, but you cannot ignore it. And so it's important to notice all of the things that Moses is saying here in his last farewell speech. The entirety of Deuteronomy is a farewell speech of Moses to the people of Israel. Moses knows that it is his time to die. God has called to him and said, you will not enter the promised land. You will come and you will die and Joshua will take them over. And so Moses says, this is my last opportunity to teach the people of Israel, to remind them of all the things that God did, of bringing us out of Egypt, of meeting us at Mount Sinai and showing himself in a cloud, speaking to the people from a voice that thundered, giving them the law, teaching them who they are as the children of God, and then guiding them and leading them in the wilderness where he led them as a pillar of cloud, fed them with manna, the bread of heaven, and brought them to the land that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to fulfill his promises. And so after the 40 years of wandering in the desert, Moses is giving the people his final instructions. We don't have time this morning to hit all of the important things because this book desires a summer series all on its own. So, you know, in the next decade or so, we'll probably go through it at some point. But we're going to hit some highlights, particularly those that come out through our series through Exodus as well. Before we begin that, though, it's important to note the name of the book of Deuteronomy. In Hebrew, it's called These Are the Words, which is the very first verse of the book, and it's also called The Repetition of the Torah. Those are the two names of it, which makes sense because that's what we did in English as well. Deuteronomy is an anglicized version of a Greek word, which means the second law. So it's Moses giving the law all over again, reminding the people of Israel of all the things that God had done. And that's a really good name for it because the entirety of the book is saying, this is what we did. Remember the things that we did going out from Egypt, going through the wilderness, coming to Mount Sinai. These are the laws that God gave you. Remember the Lord your God. Obey the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. And so we're going to hit some of the highlights of this. Major themes from our summer series that Moses picks up again in Deuteronomy. If you are a fast flipper of scripture pages, we'll be reading sections of scripture, very short sections. So if you would like to follow along, I'll give you references. I would recommend not unless you're very confident of your ability because it's only like three or four verses and I don't want you to get lost in the pages and miss the words. All right? So first of all, God alone is God. Remember, the whole point of the plagues was for God, Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty, to show to his people and to Israel and to Egypt and to Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt that there is no God like God. In Deuteronomy 4:32 through 36, Moses says these words, "Ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created human beings on earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other, has anything so great as this ever happened? Or has anything like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds like all the things the Lord your God did for you all in Egypt? Before your very eyes, you were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord your God is God. Besides him, there is no other. From heaven, he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth, he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words from out of the fire. Because he loved your ancestors and chose their descendants after them, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and by his great strength, to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you and to bring you into their land to give it to you for your inheritance as it is today. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and with your children after you and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time." The second major theme that we're going to be talking about is the identity of God as a covenanting God. And in Exodus and the rest of the Torah, this really showed itself both in the words that happened in the dialogue between God and Moses. God like literally revealed himself to Moses saying, the Lord, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. That whole litany that I've preached on twice now, as it came up twice, major times in the book of Exodus, in Numbers. So not only in the words, though, but also in God's deeds. God is the deliverer, the Yahweh, the I Am, the one who brought the people out of Israel because he had to, because he is the I Am, the provider, the faithful one, who saw his people thirsting in the desert and gave them water out of the rock, who saw his people hungry and gave them manna from heaven. The faithful one who promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob 400 years before, I will give this land to your descendants. And so even though the people of Israel rebelled right at the point of accepting the promise, of walking into that promise, even though they rejected that, God was still faithful to be with them through their desert wanderings and to bring them into the good and faithful land. And Moses talks about that in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 11. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you all and choose you all because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you are the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you all and kept oaths he swore to your ancestors that he brought you all out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, and he is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands and decrees I give you today. And then in chapter 9, it actually says, God didn't choose you for your righteousness because you were a stiff-necked people. And then it goes on to talk about how the people of Israel, the very instance when they're seeing God in the cloud at Mount Sinai and heard his voice to give them instruction, and God is making covenant with them, at that moment they rebelled against him and made a golden calf. And Moses reminds them, it is not because of you. It is only because God and his great love for you that he is bringing you into this land today. The third great theme that we're going to be looking at this morning is the identity of Israel as God's chosen people. As in our verses that we've been talking about, the phrase, you are a treasured possession, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And in Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 8, Moses says that. He says, see, I have taught you all the decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you all are entering to take possession of it. Observe carefully, for this will show you wisdom and this will show the wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this is a great nation, a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you all today? And then in Deuteronomy 6, 4, Moses says this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children, or teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit down and when you get up, when you're at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them as signs between your eyes or on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And then it continues in verse 20 of chapter 6. In the future, when your sons ask you, what is the meaning of these stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded us? Tell them, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he commanded us, that will be our righteousness. So Moses is telling the people, listen, God called you in a particular way. God showed himself to you in a way that he did with no other people on the earth. And you are called to be special to the Lord. He called you to be his treasured possession, his people, his kingdom of priests in this world. And the purpose of that is to show the world the wise and wonderful ways of God. The grace and the love and the compassion and the otherworldliness of God compared to the rest of the things that have power in this age. And then finally, a major theme in Deuteronomy that we have not, that was not as big of a theme in Exodus, but obey the Lord your God. You will have heard it in every passage that I read already, I believe. But Moses takes this to an entirely different level in the book of Deuteronomy. The last three or four chapters before Moses goes off, before he blesses the people as an individual, he gives them a list of blessings and curses. He says, when you get into the land, you're going to read the law again. And some of you are going to stand over here and some of you are going to stand over here. And you're going to say, if we do this, we will be blessed. If we do this, if we follow the laws of God, we will be blessed. And then some of you are going to say, if we don't follow the laws of God, we will be cursed in this way. And Moses just hammers home, obey the Lord your God, obey the Lord your God, obey the Lord your God. And then in chapter 30, verse 19, this is what he says. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And just real quick, it's important to talk about this because the obedience is such a major theme, and the obedience equals blessing is such a major theme. I think it's important to talk about the context that we find ourselves in, because as the Christians in Syria who are being persecuted by ISIS will tell you, it's not always true that you will be blessed beyond all belief if you are true to the Lord your God. And so there are a number of big differences between the time of Moses and the time that we find ourselves in after the Messiah. So first of all, just to give an introduction to blessing and cursing. In a general way, blessing is being filled with the power of God. And so when Moses says that if you obey the ways of the Lord your God, you will be blessed, in a lot of ways it's a very practical thing. Just like in Proverbs when it says, if you have an honest standard, you will be blessed in business. People are going to find out that you're a cheat if you're cheating people, and you're not going to do as well in business. And so it's very practical things. But at the same time, there's a spiritual element to it. If you follow in the ways of God, the power of God will fill you. The power of God will give you strength when it seems too difficult to continue. And the opposite is true for the curses. If you do not follow the ways of God, if you do not do the things that God sets forth in his law for you to do, then there's the very practical, if you are a violent person, then violence will be visited upon you, just that simple measure of it. But there's also the spiritual sense that says, if I'm walking away from God, the power of God is not going to fill me, and I'm not going to find the strength to do what is right in the moments when I need strength, because I'm going to be far from God. And so there's a general understanding of blessing and cursing, that it is more than just reward for obedience, or punishment for disobedience. And then to get into the differences between this time and our time, one of the major ones is that Christ had not been revealed yet. The second major one is the Spirit had not come yet. And so how were the people who did not have the Holy Spirit living inside of them to know that God was blessing them and keeping them as a nation? And that's another major difference. They were a political nation with boundaries and with a special group of people that God favored. And in that day and age, the promise was that I will protect you. I will keep you. You will be successful. You will have fields that do not that you will have wells that do not run dry and fields that produce grain. You will have physical blessing because I want you to know that this is the way that it's supposed to be. And so then Jesus comes and we realize that the gospel, the good news is for all people. And it's not just one political nation, one entity. It's for all. And not only that, and this is the important part, but the Spirit of God dwells in us today. And so it's not just this, the Lord your God is dwelling in your midst in the tabernacle over there in some way. Isn't that great that he's over there? But God is living inside of us. And so Paul has the audacity to say in Romans chapter 7 that we can't follow the law. It's impossible for human beings to follow the law. And so when Moses said that if you obey the covenant of God, this will be your righteousness, Paul says, you can try, but it'll never happen. And that's not the fault of the law. The law is holy, Paul says. That's our fault because we're broken. We're sinful. We can't do it. And so our righteousness cannot come from the law. And this is the transition into chapter 8 of Romans. But praise be to God, who through our Lord Jesus Christ came and brought a new law. I'm going to read it because it's that important. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. And so Paul says, God gave the law way back then. God, when Moses gave the decree to the people and said, listen, if you do this, you'll be blessed. And you do this, then you'll be cursed. If you just follow the ways of God, you will be righteous. And Paul says, that's true, but none of us can do it. And so at that time, his people would be like, you're right. Woe to us, woe to us. And Paul says, no, because God has loved us. He sent Jesus Christ to be our reconciliation, to die for us. And we get his righteousness in return. And now the Spirit of God is inside of us and living in us. And what the law was powerless to do because of us, the Spirit of Christ now redeems us. So those who live according to the ways of God, who set their minds and their hearts on the things of God, live according to the ways of God, have the righteousness of Christ. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that amazing? And then Paul spends a number of chapters talking about what that is like. And to get a real small glimpse that we're going to look at today, Jesus does the same thing on the Sermon on the Mount. For those of us who follow the ways of God, for those of us whose hearts are turned to the ways of God and not turned to the desires of the flesh, we follow the kingdom of God. We are the kingdom of God in the world. And what does that look like? Jesus gives the picture in Matthew chapter 5 of what that is. Jesus says, I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister is subject to judgment. You have committed adultery in your heart if you look lustfully at a woman. Jesus says, turn the other cheek when someone strikes you. Give to those who ask. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Because you are the light of the world. Therefore, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so in much the same way that Moses is calling to the people and calling them to say, obey the Lord your God, obey the Lord your God, love the Lord your God, and it will go well with you. We have a different call now in the New Testament. We say, obey the Lord your God, love the Lord your God. Not out of a need to be proven righteous, but out of gratitude and love for the gift that God has given us. The Reformed tradition is very strong in this, and I was going to use a section from the Belgic and a section from the Heidelberg, but they say it just a little too different. So read the Belgic and the Heidelberg, and they'll tell you how much the Reformed tradition bases our life now that we are redeemed on gratitude. We are grateful, absolutely grateful to God Almighty for His love towards us. And what else can we do but to follow the ways of God? And that is why we are here. Remember our verse for the summer. You have seen how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. To make that a little more personal, remember who you were before. Remember the power of God and the love of God, the transforming Spirit of God inside of you. Remember the powerful ways that God has worked in your life, that God has led you and directed you and brought you to this place, that how God is faithful and will not abandon you and has come through for you. I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession, for the whole earth is mine. But you will be a kingdom of priests and a royal and a holy nation. There it is. I'm getting 2 Peter confused. That is us, brothers and sisters. We are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We are here to be the light of the world, as Jesus said. How are we to do this? Be different, as our Heavenly Father is different. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Think about that. When it says pray, I've been a Christian for a very long time. For all as my gray hair and my, you know, my blonde, you guys, I'm not that old. You can laugh when I say I've been a Christian for a very long time. That's okay. I've heard a lot of prayers, okay? There are some people that have very vindictive prayers. I'm sure you've heard them. God, be with Johnny, who is such a jerk to me. You know how mean he was. You know how he took my toys. This was when I was a kid, okay? You know how he took my ball at school and I wanted to play Foursquare and he's just so mean. God, do something to him. Smite him, whatever that means, because I'm 10. God, make him be nice to me. Because he's a jerk. I don't think that's what Jesus means when he says, pray for those who persecute you. Right? I don't think that's what Jesus means. But so often that's what we do because that's what feels natural. If 10-year-old Jake, okay, Johnny stole my ball all week. Johnny's going to steal my ball tomorrow. All right? I bring it from home because it's just the right Foursquare ball. I got it for Christmas and Johnny won't let me play with it. All right? How am I going to act if that's how I pray for Johnny? Johnny, can you believe that Johnny? Teacher, that Johnny, get that Johnny! I do not like that Johnny. If only he would change, then I could love him the way that God wants me to love him. How many of you have done that before? And I'm raising my hand because I have, okay? I have done that, all right? And not just 10-year-old Jake. Maybe last week even, but we're not going to talk about that. When God says, pray for those who persecute you, okay? Bless and do not curse. He doesn't mean be a normal human being who's vindictive and vengeful in your prayers. He means actually lift them up to God and pray for them and say, God, Johnny's hard to love. I want to love Johnny. And I know that that ball means a lot to me because I got it for Christmas from Grandma. But God, if Johnny needs that ball, then maybe I should just give him the ball. God, give me the strength to give Johnny the ball. How would I then think about Johnny when I go to school on Monday? And I'm not trying to protect the ball. I'm not trying to keep it away from him. I go to Johnny as soon as recess starts and I say, Johnny, this is for you because I care about you and apparently this is important to you. and I give it to him. I'm afraid to say that I have never done that as a child. I never loved somebody that much as a child. To give something that meant that much to me. What would it take for our kids to do that? What examples would our kids have to see from us who have loved God for decades? How do we be different so that people say, those people at Hamilton CRC, and I'm using us specifically as one part of the body of Christ, how do we love and pray and be different so that people say, those people are weird. I do not get them. Because they won't. Because what we're doing is from a different world. What we're doing is from a different world. They will not get you. But they will say, but I kind of like what they're doing. I kind of want to be a part of it. God is calling us to be the light of the world. You will be for me a treasured possession, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. You are the children of God carrying the name of God into the world today. We are called Christian, meaning little Christ. When people look at you, they see Jesus. And so, people of God, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul. In Hebrew, that word is your whole body, with everything that you do, everything that you are, with all of your strength, everything that you put your hands to do, and all of your mind, all of your decisions, all of the choices that you make. Keep these commands I'm giving you today in your heart. That means let them play a part in your decision making every single day. Impress them on your children. Make this be the most important thing that you teach your kids. Talk about them when you sit at home or when you're on your way, when you're on the way, when you lie down and when you get up, which is basically a way to say all of the time. Bind them as a sign upon your hand and fix them as an emblem between your eyes. Have you ever had anything sitting between your eyes? You see it all of the time. Some Orthodox Jews right now take that literally, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think it's supposed to be more, we're supposed to take it to heart. If you see something right here that says, love God and love neighbors, and every time you looked at anything in all of the world, you saw, love God and love your neighbors. I think it would change the way you act. If every time you tried to do anything, you saw, love God and love your neighbors on your hands, I think it would change the way we act. Moses says, bind them as a sign upon your hand and fix them as an emblem between your eyes. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And that word still has meaning for us. We put them on the inside of our house, but I think they meant put them on the outside of your house. In most houses that you all have, you probably have somewhere the sign that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I know we have it. What if we all took that sign, and instead of putting it up inside of the house, what if we put it up on the outside of the house? Would that change how we act in the world? To declare publicly that we have chosen to follow God. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In the ancient world, what you wrote on your gates is what you were. You'll notice that the Romans have lots of gates talking about how good they were at killing people and how no one could resist them. And God writes on his gates. God tells his people to write, love your enemies. God tells his people to write, if your enemy's donkey has wandered away, take it back to him. God says, be welcoming to the foreigner and the widow, the orphan, the outcast. God says, you will take care of the little, the least, the last, the lost, the left behind in your communities. That is who we are by the power of God. We are the children of God in the world. We are the people of God. And we have the Spirit of God living inside of us, empowering us to be the light in the darkness. So, brothers and sisters, be bold as you follow the ways of God. Amen. Let's pray. God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, we ask for your power and your grace to come upon us so that we can be your people. Lord, let us be different in a way that people notice, in a way that brings glory to you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.